I'm going to share a little Bible lesson this morning, and then Al's going to come, and he's got a word he wants to give. So I just want to talk. It's Super Bowl Sunday, and let's go through the teams again. No, there's a reason I'm doing it. I don't want to do it. It should say Cincinnati Bengal on it. But anyway, the Philadelphia Eagles, I think, had the best record in the NFL, I think, if I'm not mistaken. And the Kansas City Chiefs were not far behind. So there really isn't a real underdog story in this Super Bowl. It's two good teams. So it's not really a David and Goliath story. But I thought on Super Bowl Sunday I'd share with you about David and Goliath briefly. Can we do that this morning? So let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. I want to fill you in on a little bit of the story. There's a meanie on the loose named Goliath who represents who? Who's he represent? The devil. There's a meanie on the loose. And the Philistines represent the world. You understand that? And the Israelites represent the church. Got it? This Philistine representing the world comes out and he starts mocking the children of God or the servants of God, the Israelites. And they send out a giant named Goliath, and he says, you know, you pull a man from your rank to fight me, and whoever wins, we'll conquer you. Just make it easy on yourself. And so, of course, David had been out feeding the shepherds, the sheep. He was a shepherd. I got one out there paying attention. Amen? So he was in there. Anyway, and so his dad, his other brothers had gone off to battle. So his dad sends David with supplies for his other brothers. In the midst of all that happening, in chapter 17, verse 23, as David was talking and got to the supply keepers, then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words, so David heard him. He said the same thing he told him before. Now, my Amplified Bible tells me that this Goliath was 8 feet 6 inches tall. He wanted to get drafted by the Sacramento Kings, but anyway, that didn't work out. So anyway, he was 8 feet 6 inches tall, and so watch what it says in verse 24. This is so sad. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. Listen, everybody down there, including the shepherd boy that shows up, everybody down there was a partaker of the covenant God had made with them through Abraham, and they all had the same covenant rights. So they didn't have a right to be dreadfully afraid, but they were because they didn't know their covenant. Can I get an amen? Amen. So they're dreadfully afraid. And then he hears about this thing in verse 25. I'm kind of skimming because I want to. He hears about the deal that he says that the king, if he does this thing, it says, it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich him, will enrich with great riches, and will give him his daughter and give his father's house exemptions from taxes in Israel. So there was a little carrot attached to the deal. And so David, being an astute listener, listen to what he says in verse 26. Boy, this just, for him, this just fires him up more because he already knows he can beat him. See, how many of you know you're in a real strong position in sports if you already know you can beat them? Do you think the Georgia Bulldogs knew they could beat the TCU 65-7? They had a pretty good idea. You don't get beat that bad. Amen. So he already knew he could beat him, but look, the stakes got raised. And then look what David says. Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? Listen to this now. Boy, this is, I want to shout this one. I'll say it first. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Oh my, I got to say that for myself this morning. Let's all say that together in unison. Say it with me. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God. Did it make any difference to David that the dude was 8 feet 6 inches tall? No, because he knew the God of Israel. He knew the covenant. He knew the contract. And you're going to find out down the line that he had put it into practice and saw it work for him. Amen? A lot of good lessons in this story here, man. A lot of good lessons. So they send word to courageous Saul, King Saul, and say there's a shepherd boy here says that, he can take down this giant. And in the meantime, one of David's brothers, one of his older brothers, gets on him for showing up. How many of you know that whenever you make a stand for God, listen very carefully, whenever you make a stand for God, the devil's going to send somebody your way to try to discourage you. And it's always going to be, listen, he's not going to send some stranger that you don't care nothing about. It's always going to be somebody close to you that's going to try to talk you out of the blessing of God. Don't shout me down. Now, it doesn't have to be that way. And I'm not talking about in a marital Christian marriage. I'm not talking about husband or wife or something like that. But you can bet your bottom dollar somebody's going to come along and say, oh, you don't need to be doing that. Can I get an amen? That's why healing got taken out of the church. All right, never mind. His brothers, verse 31. Now, when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. And then David says to him in verse 32, David says, then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. See, that's where the battle is. It's in the heart. You can't lose heart. Faith in the heart. Love's in the heart. Joy's in the heart. Amen? And if we're born again Christians, it's in our heart, isn't it? Faith in my heart. Say it. Love's in my heart. Joy's in my heart. Peace is in my heart. And my heart doesn't fail. Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And he tells him why. Verse 33, I'm just going to read it. As David said to Saul, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. But David said to Saul, here's another point. He knew his covenant. He knew his covenant, and he'd already seen it work. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Oh, here's another verse we got to quote. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. See, you don't want to wait till they diagnose you with cancer to find out it's God's will for you to be healed. You got to fight some battles to find out that the victory is truly ours. You got to know that the covenant works. You got to know that I'm not preaching to you this morning. I'm preaching to Mark Cooper Browning. You got to know the covenant works. You got to know the covenant works. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. And this, see how he keeps quoting that? This uncircumcised Philistine. He says, bless God, I got circumcised. I'm a circumcised child of God in this realm. That's an uncircumcised Philistine. That's somebody that shouldn't be talking our kids into changing their sexual orientation. I'm going to get that in this morning. Amen. That Philistine, that's a Philistine that we shouldn't be putting up with. That Philistine that's trying to tell our kids that they may not be the sex that they were born to be. Yes, you are. Amen? That uncircumcised Philistine. That uncircumcised Philistine that's turning everything into, chaos and confusion and disorder. That uncircumcised Philistine. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Here's another point. He wasn't doing it to glorify Israel. He wasn't doing it to glorify himself. He was doing it to glorify the God of heaven. Amen. Amen. He was doing it to glorify the God of heaven. Woo! Here's another truth. Verse 38. So Saul, this is another important point here now. So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head, and he also clothed him with a coat of mail. Go on, verse 39. David fastened his sword to his armor and he tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. Here's another point. You're not going to make it on somebody else's anointing. You're not going to make it forever on somebody else's faith. Sooner or later, you have to stand up in your own armor. He put on Saul's armor, and Saul's armor didn't fit David. It wasn't for David. It was for Saul. Saul's armor was not the armor David needed. All David needed was knowing that he had a covenant with the living God. Amen. Everybody see that? Now, it's hard. Hard truth. It's a fun truth. And regrettably, we've kind of made this like a cartoon. David, I remember there was a cartoon, Davy and Goliath or something, wasn't there? But I mean, it's so rich with truth. And so notice that David knows he has a covenant with God. He's practiced that covenant. He's seen it put into action. And so he also understands the giant, no matter his size, no matter what he looks like, he doesn't have a covenant with God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. There it is. The God that healed me of the flu will heal me of cancer. Amen. The God that met my financial need 4 years ago will meet my financial need now. See? And now Saul says, whoa, wait a minute. I found me somebody I can work with. Go, and the Lord be with you. Thanks, King. Kind of like some kings I know around us. Wouldn't quite call them kings. It gets more pathetic as the days go by. It's no different than that famous soap opera as So Are the Days of Our Lives. Here's how I'd say it. I'm just going to say it. So are the days of Joe Biden. Oh, yeah. Like sands through the hourglass. Right. It's become something that needs to be talked about because it's embarrassing. It's flat embarrassing for the United States of America. But we did it to ourselves. So don't anybody get all out of sorts. We did it to ourselves. All right. Verse 38. I just threw that in there for free of charge. Verse 40. Down to verse 40. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Now watch this, verse 41. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. How many of you have some experience with the army and know that you have to get assigned a job? And I think the greater the danger of the job, the higher the bonus. Sometimes they may try to tell it to you like that, right? I mean, you know, if you want to be a forward infantry man, I'll give you a bigger bonus. How many of you know this could probably be the most dangerous thing anybody can ever be? The man who bore the shield went before him. You can have that job. Put me in the back in the communication department. That's what I'm good at, communicating. Are you with me? Now, how many of you know that the devil talks? Oh, he's always yapping. That's another thing in this Philistine world. Yap, 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 yap. Yap, 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 yap. Verse 42, and when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. Only a youth, ruddy and good looking. Thank God. Verse 43, so the Philistine said to David, or Satan says to us, come on now, you're not going to be able to get this or that, or you're not going to be able to walk in the blessing. And you know, and again, I want to make sure we're not talking about impulsive things and stuff like that. I'm talking about being able to live free in life. You're going to be able to do everything the promises of God say you can do. Amen? Amen? Love, joy, peace, meekness, temperance, faith, self-control. The devil says you can't do that because you do this and you do that. And every time he says you can't do this because you do this and you do that, you say, tell him what Jesus did. Jesus did this so I don't have to worry about not doing that. Can I get an amen? All right. Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And he says in verse 44, and the Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Oh man, here we go. Verse 45. Then David, how many of you know you got to talk back to the devil? Remember Jesus got tempted in the wilderness? Remember? And everything that he came back with was words of the word of God to the devil. Amen. Again, you know who I'm preaching to this morning? Mark Cooper Browning. Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. Amen. No weapon formed against me will prosper in Jesus' name. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with natural stuff. You come to me with natural stuff. You come to me with Medicare and Social Security. Can you tell I've been watching some of that stuff? Not much. Not one moment of that late of the union, whatever that thing was. Amen. I got off guard. You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God, again, watch this, the God of the armies of Israel whom you have defied. See, the reason it's working is it's not for self-glorification. The reason it's working is it's because it's to glorify God. It's so that the world will know that God is and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Verse 46, he backs this up. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth. That, here it is again, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Say that, everybody. That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. You know how people in the United States are going to know there's a God? By the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how they're going to know there's a God. By us. By us. Verse 47. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear. He doesn't need natural things. He can do the supernatural. There are certain things in the natural you want to hang on to. Amen. Like gravity. See? Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, he gets the job done. Verse 49, then David put his hand in his bag. I mean, even though you got to act. Here we go. Here's another point. He knew he had a covenant. He'd seen the covenant work. The motivation for seeing the covenant work was not for his glory, but for the glory of God. Amen. But then all the things that he said he was going to do, he had to do. Ooh. Everybody say, ooh. Faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. Sometimes the easiest thing in the world is go to bed and put the covers over your head. Faith without works is dead. You know, he did all that talking. Wouldn't that have been something he'd done all that talking? All of a sudden that giant showed up and he says, you know what? I've changed my mind. You know what? It's very possible if that had been Mark Browning, you know what? That might have been what I'd have said. I don't know what I was talking about, Lord. I changed my mind. See? But he made all this declaration. He'd killed the lion and the bear. So he had to reach down and get a stone out of the bag. And he had to fire that slingshot. And he must have been good at it. Because he put his hand in the bag and took out a stone and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead. So that the stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the earth. Glory. Somebody say glory. Verse 50. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Watch this. Boy, this is cool. Verse 51. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out from his sheath and killed him and did exactly what he said he was going to do. And cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Now, one other thing I want to say about that. What a great story. The Philistines come back sooner or later again, though, you know. So you got to keep fighting the battle. That's all I'm saying. You got to keep fighting the fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. So they fled, and now they have this big party. Now, because, let's pick it up in verse 53. Now the men of Israel and Judah, boy, they're all happy now, right? But you know what? You know what else that demonstrates? People will follow good leadership. See what that demonstrates? And people will follow faith. You know that's what it says to do in the book of Hebrews? People that are church leaders and church workers is to follow their faith. Amen. Verse 53, then the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines, and they plundered their tent. Amen. Praise the Lord. Then as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. Woo! Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, you know, this is a type of the Lord Jesus. And this is all so ties into with the fact that you got to speak your faith, you got to say what you believe, you got to act on what you say, and then you got to fight the good fight of faith. You got to put up with what the devil's talking about, but you got to talk louder than the devil, and then you have to show the devil, greater is the God in me than the devil that's in the world. Amen. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. There's my Super Bowl Sunday sermon. I'm going to tell you that by the night's time's over, Dewey will be a happy man because the Kansas City Chiefs will defeat the Philadelphia Eagles. Al's got a word he wants to share real quick.
Let me just say a word of prayer as we get started. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, Father God. What a word this morning my brother has given us. And we attribute that to you, Father God, for you are such a glorified Father who gives us not only the word, but you give us the courage, the faith, and the understanding to pursue our mission as your children. I'm totally awed, folks, by the fact that the Holy Spirit speaks to us. Even though Mark and I have had some communication, mostly through messages and whatnot, his message that the Lord gave him parallels with the message the Lord gave me. And it awes me because the Lord kept speaking to my heart, make it brief, but to the point. And I said, well, what is it you want, Lord? And he kept going back. And I'll refer to you, folks, to Romans 10 and 17. Now, as I was listening to the word through my brother Mark, I showed my wife, I says, if I didn't believe in God now, I would have to be really dumb. Romans 10 and 17 tells us, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We're all very familiar with this. Now let me ask you this. How many of you, and raise your hands, how many of you are saved? How many of you are born again? Now let me ask you a question. How do you know you're saved? How do you know you're saved? The key word would be faith. Am I right?
Yeah.
Our faith makes the word prevail. What was the brother just speaking of? The power that David had was not his power. It was his faith in God. That's where the power comes from. In Luke 17 and 19, it tells us, Luke 17, 19, and he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. Now he was speaking to someone that needed healing. He didn't say, I make you whole. Your faith has made you whole. Now, we all know that God, yes, he made him whole. But it was his faith in God that gave him and created that power to come over this man's body and provide the healing that he so desperately sought. So, now we have three in one that are constantly at work for us, nonstop, around the clock. The Word of God, the name of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. They're always ready to act through his people, such as the case with David. Now you see how the connection comes in? And it's always that way. David is not just one, but of many that have that power in them through the Word of God, the name of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, always ready to act. The miracle action of the Word is released in two ways. Let me repeat that again. The miracle action of the Word is released in two ways. Through the words of our mouth, that would be found in Romans 10 and 8. Here's what it says. God's message is near you, on our lips and in your heart. That is the message of faith that we preach. Now this came out of the reason I switched from the King James Version to this particular thing, so it makes a little more sense. Now read it again. What it says is, God's message is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the message of faith that we preach. Always faith through actions is number two. James 1 and 22. So, in other words, if you have faith and you apply and you act on it, something's going to happen. Something always will happen. That power will be released because you acted on it with faith. And you're going to carry it through and you will be victorious. And in James 1 and 22, it says, do not deceive yourselves by just listening to his word. Not just by listening to it. Instead, put it into practice. In other words, act on it. Your faith only begins when you think of it and is finished when you complete the action. And positive will occur. Be doers of the word, in other words, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves by confessing doubt into your consciousness. Doubt is a thief, but faith, put into action by the word, releases power. David, Moses, the stories are just so many, where they relied on the Lord and they were victorious. It's, the power doesn't come from me, doesn't come from Brother Mark, Teresa, you folks. The power is already in us. If you're a believer, if you have the faith and trust in the Lord, the power is there. All you need to do, boom, put it into action. Why are we in a position as a church right now? We're following the lead of evil. Why? What happened to the faith? Are we preaching faith? Are we preaching the gospel? Or are we preaching, bring me $100 today and the Lord will give you $1,000 tomorrow? The prosperity gospel. No. You will receive the message of the cross. You will receive the message of crucifixion, the message of Jesus Christ died on the cross, resurrected, and gave you life, eternal life, in his arms, in his embrace. That's power. The devil doesn't have that power. He doesn't have power at all. Only the power that you provide to him and give it to him graciously. Here it is. I'll tell you what, I got news for you. I take that power away from him every time. You know why? Because I know I can beat him with the word. The word. It is written. The word. Who's the word? Jesus. When Jesus lives in you, folks, you are super beings on earth. Trust me, you are. You become a combative soldier for Christ, just like David. David, the giant. Unreal how the Lord connected this, brother. Unreal. And I kept asking the Lord, I don't know what you want me to do. Make it short. Here's what I want you to do. When he started talking, I go, we've only been together now a couple of weeks, and the connection is already there. It's not me. It's not Mark. It's the Lord. Why? Because, first of all, let me begin this way. The church is supposed to be not dominating the day. The church. Where are we? We're in the back seat. Don't say this. Don't say that. Political correctness. Hope has come to America. What hope? The hope was there when it was created, when it was founded. This nation, no matter what anyone tells you, was founded in Christian principles. Word by word, and we the people, not we the government. Why have we done that? We've given power to evil, and they've taken control. Well, I'm here to tell you, the power is yours to take that power back. It's yours, not theirs. Yours. Why do you suppose we have a church? Why do you suppose we have preachers, pastors, the manifold, the five? Why? To edify the church, to edify, teach, so that the church can then take control. This country belongs to the Lord, just like Israel does. We are an ally. I don't care what anybody says. We are an ally to Israel. The minute I hear that we are not connected or we shouldn't be connected, I anger. That's God's land. We have the privilege and the honor to work for the Lord, through the Lord, and by His power here. My son, here, my daughter, go and preach the gospel. Why? So apparently we've failed the Lord, and we failed everybody else, or we wouldn't be in the position we're in. Then I'll close right here. Folks, as men and women of God and the church, we have a task. We have a task. We're not here just because. We're here with purpose. We have a purpose. We must fulfill that purpose, and we've got to stick together. I believe in unity. I don't believe in diversity. I don't believe in your church, my church, that church, all combined. His church, all together. I don't care what religion you are. As long as you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified, you're home free. That's what the Bible says. Not following a ritual or anything like that. That's beside the point. Following the Lord. Following His pace. And you will see that not only with your life will change, your everything that you see will begin to change, and you see it in a different form, in a different color. Because God is with you. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Thank You for this morning, Father God, in Jesus' name. Your word is precious, Father God, and we apply it as we apply it each and every day, every time that something happens or doesn't happen. We know that You're upon that, Father God, that problem, and You work through us because we are Your vessels, Your children, Father God, and for that we thank You. We thank You for the word, and with this I close. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Amen.
So he was quoting Romans chapter 10. Notice this. This is a scriptural principle that everybody needs to know and understand. It's just the way it works. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Why don't we just say that? That's good for everybody here on the radio. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Now watch this. Here's the principle, verse 10. Here, and it works the same in every arena. Verse 10, for with the heart one believes, see, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now listen, you can't get all this stuff in a 50-minute Bible class, and these are lifelong things you need to get a hold of. But what David did here is with the heart he believed he could slew the giant, and with the mouth he told him he could. Amen? See, he believed that he could, and then he used his mouth and told him that he could, and then he did it. That's the process. He believed that he could. He told the person that he could, and then he did what he said he believed he could do. Somebody said, man, I didn't know I was coming to school this morning. But that's how it works. But listen, it's and that's every single one of us are saved that way. That's why you're saved, because you believed with your heart that Jesus is Lord. That made you righteous, and then you confessed him with your mouth, and that saved you. But it's a scriptural law. It's the heart's what you believe with. The mouth is what you confess to. The heart's what you believe with. The mouth is what you confess to. So what I want you to think about today as we finish up here is when we say verse 46, I want to think of what it was, something in your life that you're dealing with, because everybody's dealing with something. Amen. If you're not dealing with something, you're not living. You're not breathing. Amen. But listen, I want you to, as we say this verse, 1 Samuel 17:46, I want you to think about whatever thing in your life that may be hindering you and tying you up, and you're speaking to that, and you're cutting the head off of that thing in the name of Jesus. Right? You listening? You hear me? Because we're going to say it this day. Everybody, let's say it. Verse 46. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beast of the earth, that all the earth may know
that there is a God in Israel.
Now here's how we can say this. Here's how we can say this. Here's how I have to say it. See, that I may know that there's a God in me. We're not servants like the Israelites. We're not servants. That I have to know that it's God in me. That all the earth may know that God is in me. Let's say that, everybody. That all the earth may know that God is in me. See? So you gotta figure out what it is that you gotta cut off. And then you got to operate the same way David operated, and you got to do it by faith, sometimes when you have absolutely no feeling of it. I'm going to bring a new Bible lesson in when we get back together called Faith Reminders. We're going to go through that because we got to know all those things. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Who is that? Where's that at? One more. Where's that verse at? And then, who is that uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Where is that? 26, I think, sounds right. Yeah, so let's just reinforce it. Ready? Did you cut the head off? Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? Now, and I want us to start at that word for, and I want us to, if you've never highlighted that verse, highlight that part of it, and let's say that's aloud that they think something's going on over here. Ready? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Praise the Lord. Father, we just give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Thank you for the support that's been brought our way through Brother Al and his group of believers. And Lord, we just thank you that we have the opportunity to share the Word of God. If you've been listening by radio or internet and you have not received Jesus Christ into your life as Lord and Savior and acknowledged him as the Son of God, we're going to give you that opportunity right now. Just say this with me. You've heard enough about the the way this works to be able to receive the Lord. Say this with me. Say, Dear God, I want to receive Jesus.
I want to accept
Him
into my life
as Lord.
I believe
that Jesus Christ
is the Son of God,
that He died for my sins,
and He rose from the dead
for my salvation.
By faith,
I call myself
a saved
child of God
right now.
Boy, do us in a, somebody shock us and send us in a little note and let us know you prayed that prayer. Praise the Lord. I know there are people that pray it, but it wouldn't hurt to get a little feedback. Amen. It doesn't matter, though. We're here doing it because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. It's in the holy and glorious and mighty name of Jesus we pray. And everybody said,
amen.